So, after a lengthy hiatus, well, not that lengthy, but about a month, after about a month off, this is the return of Vibe Drive. And episode 134, I know 134 episodes, but this is episode 134. And episode 134 brings one of the roughest, hard-hitting cats in gaming YouTube to the podcast. Vibe Drive, start now. What's up, people? This your boy, Viper, the man about tech, and welcome back to another episode of Vibe Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech. And today on Vibe Drive, we have one of the realest cats in gaming YouTube. I've actually been watching this man for a very long time. This dude keeps it no-nonsense. Real 100% of the time. He doesn't care if you're a Sony pony or an Xbox. He is keeping it 100 with you. But let's bring in my man Ryan from Big Cloud Gaming. What's up, Ryan? How you doing?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Yo, thank you for joining me, man. I appreciate you. Thank you, man. I know how busy you are, especially with everything that's going on with these next gen consoles coming out. So I appreciate you taking the time, man. Thank you.
Oh yeah, you caught me at the right time. I was like, the system's now officially, all the info's out, so. No more speculation. It's official. So we're
now,
here.
We're going to get into these next generation consoles in a minute, but y'all know anybody that I bring on the podcast, I got to ask the very first question for all my new guests. Ryan, what brought you to YouTube?
Oh, man, that right there is a minute. So I started this whole like account in 2011, and I didn't become a content creator until 3 years later, 3 years ago. Okay. So when I did this whole thing, pretty much I already knew what I wanted to do. I love journalism a bit, and I love talking about games. That's really what I love to do. And it does take a long time to build an audience, but it was one of those things where, you know, I just really wanted to do. I had this joy every time I did it, right? The first video I ever did on YouTube, I gained 20 subs, and I was like, wow. 20 people liked one video. Okay, let me do another one. And then that next video got me 40 subs, and then another got me 100. I was like, holy hell, I got 100 subs in just 3 videos. So I started doing more, got more and more confident on the mic, and that just led to this love for what I do. And then I eventually transitioned into podcasting, because Jerry and I do a podcast and Fridays. Right. And that transition to podcasting and just talking about tech. And obviously with PS5, I'm a big PlayStation guy. I played games before I even did all this. I was heavily. That was kind of the gamer life. You know, I went to work, came home, you know, and just gamed before I even did YouTube. Now I have to have a set schedule, whether or not to game or do a video. So right, that was right. Before. But you know, that's how it was, man. Just, you know, I love sharing my thoughts, my opinion, and my history about, you know, the industry and how it got me into it and made me the man I am today. You know, I love what I do. So that's pretty much what got me into it.
No doubt, man. That's what's up. So you say you've only been a content creator for 3 years. I could have sworn I was watching you back in 2013.
No. No. I literally got on here like three channels, probably 4 years now, going on 4 years now. But, I literally got into this about 3 or 4 years.
Now, it's funny because I watched you years ago, mm-hmm. and I think I ended up, for whatever reason, I think I was going through some financial stuff, so I ended up getting rid of all my my consoles. So I've been without a console for over a year or so now. But I had stopped watching because obviously I didn't have a console, so I didn't really have any vested interest in the gaming industry and things like that. But recently, I think with all the hype of next generation consoles and things like that, I just happened to run across one of your videos, and I don't know why, but I clicked on it, and I started looking. I'm like, wait a minute, this dude sounds familiar AF. And then when you said, you're like, Ryan, I'm like, oh my God, that's him. I used to listen to watch him like back in the day. Like, that's what's up.
Yeah. This year or last year, I went through a rebranding of the channel completely. So before, it was Ryan the Professional. That's probably what you remember. Yes. I changed it to Big Cloud Gaming because I have a friend who helped me with my new logo and everything for the channel. And she was like, you know, I love you, but you know, you need to put gaming and stuff. And I was like, what's that supposed to change? She's like, just do that. And I listened to her. I let her guide me a bit, and just led to just more cooler stuff. And I just became more grounded, you know, more humbled in the long way. You know, the people you meet in here are really, really cool. Some are not, but you meet gems out here, man. People are cool. So that's what led to Big Cloud Gaming. And I ain't gonna lie, Big Cloud Gaming is something that I didn't think people would accept, because I remember when I first announced it, everybody was like, people were like, I don't know, man. They didn't like the original logo. She hits me up on Twitter. She's like, sweetheart, check your DM. I was like, okay. She had this new new logo and everything. I was like, then, okay, maybe I can work with that. And you fast forward a few months later, everybody's saying they like that five times more than what I originally did. Even my Panther logo, because that's probably what you remember, is that Panther logo as well. They was like, that's better than the Panthers. I was like, and ironically, I kept that as a thing. Even when you see it in intros, that's kind of the thing that's been a thing. So rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. That's why the new logo looks the way it does now. So
maybe Wakanda forever. Right.
Yeah. Right, Wakanda forever. So.
So, like I said, it was funny because back in the day, like I think when the Xbox and PlayStation 4 first came out, I was watching people like Next Gen 720. I was watching Showstopper. Yo, Showstopper, if you're watching, listening, we need you back in the YouTube game, dude. Make it happen. And I was watching Crab Gamer. Now, Crab Gamer, he's a cool dude, but he kind of got on my nerve because the dude will make the same video four times a day, just try to change the little headings around. And I'm just like, come on, Crab Gamer, man. Come on, man.
Cool. I used to go at his neck back in the day. Heavy back in the day. I talked to him legit like a Mando on Mucha Show not too long ago. And we good. I'm gonna have him on the channel very, very soon. So we're gonna talk. I'm gonna shock everybody. Like, yeah, there's no beef. It's just gamers' different opinions. And I've learned to accept that, you know, people's opinions. But before, you remember, before I was like,
I remember, man. I don't like
your attitude. What you mean Xbox is better? Excuse me? You know, that's how it was back in the day. Now, it's like, hey, you like Xbox, you like Xbox. You know, I've been on both sides. I've been on PC. I can show the rig right here. That's what I've been, you know, rocking. I'm also getting that PS5. You know, just gaming, man. Enjoy your gaming.
All good, man. It's all good. But, yeah, I was watching him back in the day. Then I happened to run across your channel. I'm like, all right, this dude is like, even though he's a PlayStation guy, he's pretty down the middle with this stuff. I mean, he's telling it like it is. He's not trying to be a fanboy one way or another. He just letting you know what it is. And I appreciated that. So that's why I was rocking with you back in the day. And then when I rediscovered your channel recently, I'm like, oh yeah, we going back today, because I know what he gonna bring to the table. So I appreciate you and your content, man. So shout out to you.
So I appreciate it.
I think I know the answer to my next question, but I'm gonna ask it anyway, because obviously you just said that you prefer PlayStation. Now, the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 generation have been going on for 7 years. And I swear, over the past 7 years, Microsoft has not figured out that, you might want to figure out how to make exclusive games that make people want to come to your platform. So my question, Ryan, is what is it about PlayStation and what is it that you prefer with PlayStation over Xbox?
So Microsoft's known for being the dude bro casual shooter console.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the whole meme that they turned themselves into with Call of Duty, the Forzas, the Halos. That's kind of what it's all. This is the same thing. It's a shooter or just a racer. Sony sucked me in. They had me in with PS3 with all the games, the ridiculous lineup of games. There was so much to choose from. They even had games that I didn't even think of, like Wonder Book, which I never got into, but they had so much crazy stuff that's like, damn, how can you not like them for all this variety that they're offering? And so Sony has such a crazy diverse library that I was like, you know, I'd be a fool not to go back to PlayStation after this time. And granted, I was on 360. I gave 360 a shot. 360 was a good console. It just 360 fell into the same tropes, especially in the latter years. You know, it was just Halo, Gears 4. So I'm like, guys, why are we hyping up HBO Go on the console? Where's the other games? You know, where's the other games? And dude was like, oh, it's fine. It's quantity over quality, or quality over quantity. I was like, it's the same three games. What do you mean quality? But dudes is making excuses out the board. So I was like, you know, I can't do this. I went home, the PlayStation. I have not looked back since. And I made the right decision, even going to PS4. I was like, you know, this is just the platform to go to. They proved that over the years. They got my money for PS5, despite one hiccup, which we found out yesterday. But that was it. Yeah, I'm still in.
Yeah, so funny story. I think I've told a lot of you guys that follow me on Twitter, but just in case you don't follow me and you don't know the story, I did not pre-order a PlayStation 4 like a complete idiot. So I had to spend some 8 hours outside in line at Best Buy on the launch night for PlayStation 4 because I didn't pre-order one. Now, luckily, when I was in that line, I was like, I think it was number 3 or something like that. So I got one. But yeah, I had to wait 8 hours outside to get that PlayStation 4. I was enjoying the PlayStation 4 when I originally got it. But in, then I think about a month or two later, I ended up getting an Xbox One. And I kind of enjoyed the Xbox One more because I kind of fell into the allure of it being a media box, it doing more than playing video games. But the only problem with that is that at the end of the day, it is a video game console. And like I just discussed, Microsoft is a little lacking on their exclusive titles, even over the past years, they've been lacking. I think I've been watching a little bit more Crack Gamer recently, and I think he said something like, it's been almost a year since Microsoft has unleashed a AAA exclusive on the Xbox platform. Over almost a year. I think he did like 10 months or something. Like, what are they doing? We know that, what, I think it was 2 years ago, they announced that E3 2018, I think it was, that they brought like 5 studios or 10 studios. And I think they brought maybe like 10 more studios since then. But where are those games? Like, you got 15 new studios, and you are launching a brand new console, and I'm still waiting for a compelling reason to buy the Series X, because I don't know what Microsoft was doing with all these developers, Ryan, but I'm waiting for the games. Where are they, Ryan? Where are they?
Yeah, so I say this all the time, because I'm not just on PlayStation podcasts. I'm on a lot of Xbox podcasts as well. I'd say this all the time. And the excuse is that, you know, we should wait because they literally have to start all over. But I'm like, that's really not really assuring. What you should have done was built upon the games that you launched with. For example, Quantum Break could have been something you built upon. And I use Uncharted as a good example, because Uncharted is a prime example of what happens when you take proper feedback and up your game with it. The first Uncharted game was not amazing. Let's just call it what it was. It wasn't amazing. It had a good story, great acting, had some okay combat and awkward shooting, but it wasn't amazing. What did they do? Well, they took that feedback, and we got what? Uncharted 2. They gave us insane set pieces, insane story, beautiful storytelling, and characters. That's how you get proper feedback. You take that feedback and you put it into those studios. And that's what I've been asking for Microsoft for the longest, and it took forever to get that. Now, we do have some stuff in the future, which we think is 2023, at least for some of these games. Like, for example, Hellblade 2, that's some years away. The last time we saw Hellblade 2, they showed it taking pictures of gravel and ground of the environment. Now, you know, when they're taking pictures of the ground and the actual environment of the set piece, that means you're just now getting into level design. I mean, that you're nowhere near close to development in terms of creating the character. You're creating the lore. You're creating the world right now. You're not even ready. So that's like 2023. Avowed looks good. But again, we don't know when that's coming out. Everwild, we don't know when that's coming out. Oh, see what I'm saying? Some games, they do have some games coming, and I'm looking forward to them, but I don't know when they're going to get them. So I don't know. So it's just...
And it's funny that you say that. You keep saying we don't know when it's coming out, but the Series X itself is coming out in November. The system, the box, is coming out in November. But Ryan keeps saying he doesn't know when the games are coming, which has been my argument all summer long. Now, I've got Xbox New coming out my neck, and I keep talking about how they got no games, but... I'm not saying that the Xbox Series X is not a good system. We know it's the most powerful console out there. I never argued that. My argument is, where are the games? The box is open, coming in November, but even till this day, there's no home run hitting game that you have to have on day one when this box launches on November 10th. So basically what they're trying to allure people or draw people in with is Xbox Game Pass, and we'll get more into that in a little bit. Y'all know how I feel about Xbox Game Pass, but basically, they're trying to say that they're going to have the largest launch library ever because they're relying on all the backward-compatible games. But nobody buys new hardware to play old games, Microsoft!
I beat that across every time. I didn't buy a PS3 because I can go back and play Crash Bandicoot 1.
Seriously?
I bought a PlayStation 3 because of games like Resistance Fall of Man, which blew me away when I first saw it on the PS3. I bought a PlayStation 3 for Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, which is one of the greats of Konami or Kojima. Uh-huh. You see what I'm saying? I bought PS3 for the Sly Collection. I bought PS3 for all these games that were dropping. I didn't buy it for the old gen. So for people saying, oh, I need all my old games secure, that right there is just capping. You're doing that for console war bait. That's all it is. It's capping. And I always laugh at that. What are you looking for in terms of the future? You're talking about the past. I'm talking about the future.
Future, yeah.
The future is now. Where would you have now? Where are we at now? Oh, we're at excuses. Well, we have to wait to this. We don't know when this happened. And that's where I'm like, then why should I take it seriously? Why should I pay you any mind? And they'll go, no, no, that's a fanboy statement. That's a realistic statement, you know? It's realistic statement. It's kind of like when you go to a job interview. What do they tell you at a job interview? First impressions are what? The most important.
Yep.
What you have offer is the most important thing. You need to offer the best. You ain't got nothing there day one, and guess what? Ain't nobody going to take you serious, and that's the thing. Microsoft puts themselves in these crazy situations. Like before Sony's show, which was yesterday, one of Microsoft's spokespersons was like, oh, we never relied on first party exclusives to push a console. And I'm like, excuse me?
Right.
Halo Infinite, you had, or I'm sorry, not Halo Infinite, but Xbox 360, you had Halo 5, or no, Halo 3, and you had a limited edition Halo console. What are you talking about? You've always had exclusives to launch the system. This is not something new. This is something that's required.
Really?
Right now you're pushing agendas. You're not pushing no effort. And people don't want to hear that, and they always flip it and say, oh, that's not the case. And hey, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, I knew exactly as soon as that PS5 event started and they showed Final Fantasy and they said console exclusive. That right there automatically secured a PS5 purchase for a lot of people. And I'm not a huge Final Fantasy fan, but a lot of people were like, yo, that's me. I got that. That's me. And I'm like, you got that. You know what secured a PS5 for me? Demon's Souls. That Demon's Souls gameplay was smooth. I wanted that. Yo, that Spider-Man gameplay looked like the damn movie, Homecoming. Mm. I was like, yo. I'm with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm with
Sony came out the gate yesterday, smashing Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man. I'll be good. Just 1-2 punching them like, bam.
Yeah.
Like you said, when you are launching a next generation console, it is about the exclusive. Especially when we're talking about a new next generation console. What are the next generation game experiences that I can have on your console? Sony, like I keep telling you guys, Sony has completely redesigned their controller from the ground up for a next generation experience. Now, not saying that the Xbox controller is bad because it's one of the greatest controllers of all time, but Microsoft is not doing that on the Xbox side this year. They're giving you a rehashed version of the Xbox One X controller. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at Sony's side. I'm like, I see more next generation focus from Sony than I do Microsoft. But Microsoft is doing some good things. I'm not here to totally bash them because, you know. Yeah,
they confirmed haptics, which is what Sony's rocking. They confirmed that for the Series X, which is good. They need those. That's great. Okay. But my issue going into that controller, because you remember with the Xbox One, the shoulder buttons were ridiculously close against the controller. It felt weird for that controller. Another thing that was done was the D-pad. I'm looking at this one right here, and I'm like, yo, I don't know who tests these controllers. I don't know who legit got that through their thick heads. But it's like they couldn't get the D-pad right with the base controllers, but somehow you managed to get it right with the $250 controllers, which, again, I never thought in the history of gaming I would see Microsoft turn into scuff gaming. I never thought I would see that when they turn into scuff. I never thought I'd see that because they're basically selling you scuff controllers, and I've had those for a long time. You know, here's one right here.
There you go.
There you go. I got one. I've been had a scuff. So I know what a scuff is. They're selling you scuffs. It's like, that's not really assuring. You know, it's nothing. You're not really selling me. So the only real difference between that new controller and the last one is the share button.
That's it. Literally.
That's it. The DualSense, it looks nothing like this.
Nope.
Nothing like this. It looks completely different. They completely revamped it. Longer battery life. More features. It's got a speaker built in, so you don't need a headset.
Sony,
somebody's listening, and Sony,
Microsoft is like treading water over there.
Yeah, somebody's listening over there in Sony. They know that voice chat is required, and it's like everybody's got a headset. It might not be the most conventional, but hey, you got something. It's a controller. The better headsets are going to come later, and of course, that's where tech heads like us coming again. We get those, but
definitely,
I'm just saying, like they're not making that effort.
No doubt. Also, shout out to those of y'all listening on audio only. Thank you for coming back for another episode of Vibe Job. I know it's been a while, but we are finally back. I appreciate you guys rocking out with me and Ryan. If you want to go check out his content on YouTube, his information will be in the show notes. Definitely go check him out. He is legit. Also, if you want to support or donate to the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. Not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you're listening on audio only and you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, I need you to go ahead and consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts so we can get back in the rankings. I don't know where we're at now since it's been so long since I put out a podcast episode, but Anything that you guys can do to help out with that on Apple Podcast will be greatly appreciated. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Tribe. I appreciate you guys rocking out with me. Now, let's talk about what Microsoft is doing with their next generation strategy, because what we have here is a complete difference of business strategies and approaches to next generation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Sony has been pushing exclusives and exclusive content for the PS5, although we'll get into that more of that later on, because apparently Sony's been lying to him. But we'll get into that later on. But Sony has been pushing exclusive content for their next generation experience, whereas Microsoft has been pushing Xbox Game Pass, and I've said all summer long, Xbox Game Pass will not sell your next generation system. But Microsoft, they got a little slick with it, because they're doing something that has never been done, to my knowledge, at least in the console space. They are introducing Xbox All Access, which basically means that you can finance a next generation Xbox, either the Series S or the Series X. If you want the Series S, you can pay $24.99 a month, which includes Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, so that's pretty cool. Hmm. If you want the Series X, you can pay $35 a month, again, which includes Xbox Game Pass. So Microsoft is giving you a more affordable way to enter next gen, which, especially given with the current pandemic and people losing their jobs and things like that, is very, very smart on their part, especially given our current situation. But Ryan, what do you think about Microsoft's business strategy as we go into next generation here?
So Xbox All Access, it's not completely all the way new, because I remember they brought that up before in conversation when Xbox One X dropped. Because remember, Xbox One X was kind of treated like a new next-gen system in a weird way when they hyped it up. So they kind of did bring that up. But bringing back All Access, it's actually smart, especially in this time. But the question is, you guys already saw with PlayStation, can you even meet demand if you have the demand for it? That's going to be the issue. You know, that's going to be the real issue. It's smart to do that. I do think that's smart to go about it. The real killer console for them, it's not even the Series X, ironically. It's the Series S.
Yeah.
$300. Now, when you have an economy like this and you have people who tend to just buy stuff pure impulse, that's the console to look out for when it comes to market share. I say this all the time. Like, it's not Series X. Series X is good. It's a good beef. It's a beast capable machine, right? The issue with that system is just, like I said before, first party, the lack of first party. Third party games are going to look good on there. But again, it comes down to that that Series S is going to be their thing. When it comes to their business strategy and going about it with Game Pass, I mean, EA just partnered with them, which is smart. EA Play is now combined with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
Wow.
That's a big deal. That's pretty good. Now, I don't think EA will do this, but if EA was to give you access to like Madden and FIFA for all of them, day one for like the newer ones, that would sell an Xbox Series S for sure, especially those who are on a budget and just want to buy the console. Like, hey, it comes with Game Pass, sign me up. That's it. That's a good deal. But again, this is EA. Yeah, I doubt EA would do that, but you never know. That's a smart way of going about it, though. I mean, Game Pass is not a bad service. I tell people all the time, it's not a bad service. It's cool for what it is. It's just the problem with Game Pass, and especially if you're a hardcore, like, heavy gamer, you just play games, especially when you come home from work, you sit back, odds are you played 90% of the library and beaten 90% of the library.
Exactly.
Now, if you are just now getting into console gaming, let's say tomorrow, today, that would be a perfect, introduction to a lot of games you played before. But the thing is, those are, like, small percentage right now. Everybody's been gaming at this point.
Right.
So it's a good value for what it offers, but it's not like, oh, I must have it. No, odds are you played these games separately and you own them either on your shelf or digitally in a library. You played these before. People hyping up Cyberpunk, like Cyberpunk's going to be a day and date. They turned that down. I'm like, guys, there's no way these publishers are going to put their new titles day and date on the service unless Microsoft is really forking over that cash and they charge extra interest on that actual service. And when they do that, and that's going to happen regardless, because games are looking at $70. Ooh. So we're looking at a price increase.
Mm-hmm.
So when games increase, what tends to happen when the product increases? The service increases. Why? The service has to maintain it.
Yep.
So that goes up to maintain that higher price product. You need to do that. There has to be a ceiling here. So, you know, $10 a month, you're looking at $20, maybe $25 in the future.
Probably. Yeah. And like, it's funny because all these Xbox people have been telling me all summer long, Xbox has Game Pass. But as you just astutely highlighted, you are not going to get the top level brand new third-party games on Xbox Game Pass day and date. They're not doing that.
No.
you might get your first party games on Xbox Game Pass. But as we discussed earlier in the podcast, when you talk about Microsoft and first party exclusives, I'm looking for you, Microsoft. Where you are? Where are you at? Where are
you? I mean, you know, their best looking game this or one of their best games this generation was Cuphead, and that's not even exclusive. That's on PlayStation now.
Right. Yep.
That's one of their best original games they had in a long time, and that's on PlayStation. Ori, they're talking about Ori going to other platforms. I mean, you know, like you're not really building this trust that I need to buy into your product. And that's why mostly I've been on PC. I mean, I can access all their stuff on PC. I'm not missing anything. There's only one thing missing from this rig, and I think you can already guess what it is. It's $500 entry level. Mm. I think you know what I'm talking about. That's $500 entry level. But apparently, I'm going to go with the 38.
The Capra got there quick, apparently, I heard, man.
Yeah, they got them quick, but I'm going with that 3080. That's just the upgrade right there to go for when it comes to Series X. Like, again, it's not a bad system. It's not a bad system. It's a good system, but
now here's
is it really needed?
Here's the other thing that I've been talking about as it relates to Xbox and games and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to get into this with Sony, too, because, like I said, we found out we've been lied to a little bit by Sony yesterday, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But my thing with Xbox is that they have already told us, they told us a long time ago that you don't even need a next generation console, Ryan, because every game that comes out for the next 2 years will come out for the Xbox One, One X, One X. So if these games are coming out for the next 2 years on the current generation hardware, why do you need to go out and get a Series X? And I'm just thinking to myself, why would Microsoft be like handicap themselves? And a lot of people are of the mindset that if you are bringing out all of these new games for the current gen, then that might hold back development for the next gen. Which is kind of, I think, what's going on with Halo Infinite. So Microsoft already kind of handicapped themselves trying to hitch their wagon to their current gen console, trying to keep everybody afloat when you're in next generation and you need to be focusing on next generation development, but they're still trying to drag the current gen into the next gen. It's kind of crazy. But a funny thing happened with that argument last night. It appears that Sony is exercising the same strategy. Sony kind of drag a current gen PS4 games into next gen, and I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand.
People came at me today. I did a live stream. I don't know if you saw it. I went off this morning. You heard that? Okay, so you heard my point. And again, I was expected for the backlash. I already knew I was either going to have people who love me, either go in between the crosshairs, like, right, I love your content, I love you, but I might disagree. Luckily for me, I train my audience really, really well. I tell them how it is. You know, they're very well informed. They know where I come from. I don't bullshit. I don't put out fake information. I can't do that. Just can't do it. So when they did this decision, and you got reports coming around that Horizon, which they confirmed, is going to be on PS4, which blew my mind. I was like, yo, okay, guys, this is not a good look, especially after all the hype. Because remember, their whole strategy was to be the opposite of Microsoft,
right?
So Microsoft saying we don't believe in exclusives, basically. Sony's like, oh, we believe in that. We selling this console, and I'm like, okay, you're giving what incentive to buy the system? You're making it easier to make that jump. So when I saw Miles Morales, and I see everything that I covered in videos with from the SSD architecture and the asset loading and everything, I'm like, bro, y'all see what I'm saying here? I told you guys, this is what you're gonna get on paper. The game looks incredible, particle effects, everything. I mean, you see how fast these games are running. A lot faster than what you see on a PS4 and Xbox One now, isn't it?
Yep.
Ain't no sluggish gameplay. There's no crazy tacked on cutscenes to, you know, to alleviate the system speeding up and catching up with the scene. No, it's all real time. It's running super fast. That's the type of stuff that I wanted for the longest from the jump. And when we got that, I'm like, yo, this is, take my money. 30 minutes into the show, Spider-Man Miles Morales. Oh, it's on PS4. I'm like, what? What? Yep. And then people are like, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm like, first of all, again, it's not a big deal that these games are on PS4. That's not the issue. The issue is that we were told that, you know, it wasn't. You right. told us it was going to have its own separate exclusives.
Yep.
These games ain't separate. Nope. These are on both platforms. Therefore, those people who couldn't or who were actually going to jump, odds are they're not going to jump. They're going to wait for the other true exclusives to come later on. You
right.
know?
They have reason to, right.
Yeah, they're going to do that. Now, some people are like, oh, this is just for the fanboy thing. It's not even the fanboy thing. It's a realistic principle. You lied. You told me that I was going to get this. Am I getting that day one? No. Is it going to be there? No. It's going to be on another platform. I don't need it.
My whole argument for throughout the podcast is that Xbox ain't got no games. They ain't got no exclusives. And then Sony comes out yesterday like, oh, yeah, most of the games are coming to PS4. I'm like, what?
Yeah. That blew me away. That honestly blew me away. I don't know who thought that was such a good idea in PR. I don't know who was trying to spin that. I don't know who thought that the gaming community, despite everybody giving you all this praise during the show, was not going to look at that and go, okay, Sony, you know I don't need your system, right? Well, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Like, do I want to pre-order this damn thing? And I was like, no, I love tech. I'm a tech guy.
Man,
I love tech. I got to have the PS5. It looks tall. It's tall as hell. It's confirmed. It's tall as hell. It's a big beast. I'm like, bro, that's going to go right here next to me. It's going to be right here next to me right here. I'm going to have it. I bought all the accessories that I wanted. You know, I got the charger station for the controllers. Got another controller. Got Demon Souls. Got Spider-Man. I mean, I bought it. Like, I'm supporting it. I love it. But I'm not going to sit here and act like they did everything right. They didn't do everything right with that. That was a bad decision.
It's so funny because up until yesterday, they had all the momentum going into this next generation raid. They could have ended Microsoft's career yesterday. And they had a good show. They kind of did, though.
They ended the career, but it's like they ran into a speed bump and stopped themselves when they said it's on PS4. And when you did that, it's like you gave them a little hope. Because remember, we're still waiting for 2021 for Halo.
Beyond that, the pre-order situation, Ryan. Mm-hmm. The hell happened with the pre-order situation last night? That was not how that was supposed to go down, right, at all.
So I went off about that early today too. Yep. I was like, okay, guys, this is part two of my issue right here too. I was told by Sony themselves and by Jeff Keighley that tomorrow, which is today, pre-orders was going to go live.
Today.
I thought it was good. I went to sleep. Right. I was not expecting to get 40 phone calls waking me out of my slumber. I go to this damn PC and everybody's going, Ryan, get your pre-order. I'm like, what you mean get my pre-order? It's not even midnight. It's 10 o'clock. It's like 9 o'clock when people were doing this. Like 9 o'clock. Bro, pre-orders are live. I'm like, where? They was like, Walmart. I'm like, bruh, go to Walmart. Walmart is slower than it's ever been in the history of Walmart. I go to GameStop. It's like they got pre-orders. I'm putting my pre-order in. I can't even access the damn pre-order screen because GameStop is crashed.
All of them.
You see what I'm saying? All of them were crashed. So much traffic was there that it crashed. And I said this before. I was like, guys, I said this in numerous videos. You can vouch for me because I said this in numerous videos. I'm like, guys, this is the most anticipated console for next gen. Demand for this system is going to be higher than what you ever seen for PlayStation 4. Yep. Sites are going to crash if they don't have the proper amount of units. And so when they said that, you know, they're going to be good. They're ready to go. I kind of took the word for them. They said they're going to give us a heads up. Okay, cool. When they said tomorrow, I'm guessing they're good. I'm hearing from people that I'm cool with and I'm associating with. We were on the podcast. They go on to get their pre-orders. They go to the store. You got GameStop putting stickers on the actual store window saying like, oh, 5 digital, 13 base. I'm like, what?
Ooh.
What kind of shipping was that? I mean, how long have y'all been sitting on this console? Did y'all even ask for more? He's like, bro, that's what they had. So they clearly didn't think that through. And I think it was Walmart, right? Walmart was the one who jumped the gun, who screwed everybody over. If Walmart didn't do that, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. But when you add that on top of the decision to put games on PS4, that really did take a lot of wind out of the show. That me personally, I thought that was one of their best shows. It's not the best show of 2020. It was incredible. The transitions and all that stuff.
It was awesome. Perfect wrap, but then that whole, like you said, found out the game would come to PS4, and then they stumbled with the pre-order. But I watched Rich from Review Tech USA today, and he made a good point. I don't know if this is the case, but he made a good point. He said that Sony might have done that last night intentionally to deter scalper from scalping them up, because like he said, obviously, if they know when to go to these sites and get the console for pre-order, they can set up their scalping bots and just go to work. But he said the way Sony did it last night, that probably deter scalpers, and that probably help a lot more people get one who might not have been able to get one had they just had a set date and time. Any credence to what Rich said, Ryan? Or
what's up? What about the scalpers? Yeah. I mean, the whole scalper situation should have been like I don't understand why eBay allows this to even be a thing where you can sell your pre-order on eBay. That is so stupid. I don't know why that's even a thing. There needs to be like a restriction on that type of stuff. I thought Sony would have that going on, you know. But if Microsoft ends up having a better, like, pre-order controlled environment on the 22nd, boy, you know, it's not going to look well. Not only do they give you weeks notice, which Sony did not do, they gave you a day's notice, which is, I don't know why you did that. Like, again, I understand you want to be first, but you're coming out last anyway.
Actually,
it's coming out on the 12th. PS, Series X is coming out on the 10th.
No notice. They literally gave us no notice. The dude, he, like you said, he interviewed with Jeff Keighley. I think it was Eric Lampinen, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah.
He said that, no, we're not going to hit you our last minute. We're going to give you advance notice. That was no advance notice.
That was no advance notice.
And then 2 hours later, pre-orders are live after the show. I'm like, what is this? I thought we were going to get notice. This is not notice. So, yeah, it was handled terribly by Sony. But I am curious to see how F5 pre-orders will go because now there's a day and a time. So I think we're going live, but I think at 11 a.m. Eastern on the 22nd. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any credence to that scalping theory that Rich from Review Tech USA had earlier today. Since now the scalpers will know when to go pick those Xbox consoles out for pre-order. So I don't know, but yeah, Sony.
I don't know, man. I mean, they're trying to flip it. I mean, I saw one console on eBay for $6,000. Other one was like $1,000. Others are ranging from like $1,000 to $2,000. Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're really they got some flip rate, right?
Oh yeah.
That Series X though, here's the thing though. As much as I would like to say they're gonna do it and they're gonna make their money back, I'm not so sure what the demand of it. The reason why, you go to the community polls everywhere, all these sites, it's not even a question which system everybody just wants.
Not really
a Series X or Series. And I'm not saying that to downplay. I'm just saying that's the community in general is like, I don't really care for an Xbox or Series S, but I guarantee you though, they can't get a PlayStation 5. That Series S going to look a little appealing.
Oh yeah.
You're going to get not necessarily the next gen visual upgrade, but you're going to get those enhancements like the no load time, faster games.
Right.
A lot of people just want that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, like, it's funny because in tech, we have a Samsung where they released two Galaxy Note phones this year. They released the regular Galaxy Note 20 and they released the Galaxy Note 20 Ultra. And I called the Galaxy Note 20, the regular one, a participation trophy because it was a watered down version of the regular Note and it was less expensive. I feel like the Xbox Series S is a participation trophy for Microsoft. Yeah, you want to get to the next generation? Yeah, we'll give you this watered-down console for $300. If you don't have a 4K TV and you don't have the top dollar, you can get that participation trophy. I like the way Sony did it better because it's the same thing as the disc edition. It's just discless. That's it. But Xbox actually watered down their console to get more people to be a part, which I say is like a participation trophy. But I mean, at the end of the day, you do what you got to do to make ends meet, and you do what you do. But the interesting thing about PlayStation 5 pre-orders last night, it was I noticed myself that there are a lot more places where the disc edition was available than the digital. So I got to believe when the Xbox go on pre-order next week, it's going to be pretty hard to get a Series S, but it should be pretty easy to get a Series X.
Yeah, the discless ones, the cheaper models, and this is where Sony really hit the nail on the right head. That's why I said that was going to be the hot console to get, because it's literally the exact same internals, just minus disk drive, and it's cheaper. That's it. You know, it's funny watching dudes trying to cap on the price point all of a sudden. Right? I said 405, dude's like, you're a liar. There's no way. I'm like, okay, that's what you're going to get. Dude's coming at me saying 350. I'm like, no. There's no way you're going to get any console from PS5 no 350. Sony doesn't need to be at 350. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They don't need to be at 350. It doesn't make sense. It's 400. It's not going to be no console with a $50 price difference. It's going to be $100 difference. That's how it is. Xbox Series X, is that really a threat to PS5? No.
No.
Market share-wise, it's Series S. So, again, when it comes to that cheaper version, that discless, I clicked on both links. The discless one was gone in 60 seconds.
Gone.
The disc based one, it was like people were either waiting, was like, do I want to do it? I'm like, bro, move. That's mine. I took mine. That's mine. Like, listen, I didn't want it, but I wanted the discless ones because I wanted that, you know, aesthetic look on the desk. Right. I'm like, hey, it's fine. It's dope.
It's funny, you know,
I have one.
Doing. I wanted the digital one, but I couldn't get it when I went to go to Walmart. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take the L. I'm just going to pre order the disc one. At least I'll have one. But then like I got lucky later on that night because that's when Amazon went live and somebody alerted me to it. And I was able to get a digital from Amazon. So I ended up canceling my Walmart. But I did the same thing you did. I wanted the digital, but I couldn't get it. So I went ahead and I got the disc. And I think Sony did that on purpose. Sony wants to sell more of the $500 box.
So of course, they want their full bottom dollar. They don't want to take the hit and go, hey, here's the $400. I'm like, dog, Sony, I see what you're doing. It's clearly evident with the stores.
We see you, Sony.
Yeah, we see you. It's clearly evident with the stores. All the stores didn't have more digitals than the physical. It was all significantly more physical than digital. It was just like that on all stores. Like, dog, Sony, Who you trying to fool here? Like, you ain't fooling me. I see what you're doing.
I see what you're doing.
You got my money, but you can't. I see what you're doing. Just keep it real with me next time when it comes to these damn games. You know? And like, if people act like, you know, you probably wouldn't have bought the game. I'm like, listen, I'm a diehard PlayStation man. I want that next gen experience. I'm gonna buy PS5. That was it. Exactly. I didn't care if it was on PS4 or not. That would have been it. That would have been my jump.
Man, I mean, it's cool if you already have a PS4, but I don't have a PS4. I don't have any consoles right now. So as soon as the order went live, I was jumping on it regardless. I was getting a PS5 anyway, because that's what I wanted. Because I know even though the launch titles are going to be a little short and far quantity and things like that, I know that at the end of the day, Sony has a history of giving you these rare first-party exclusives that aren't going to be anywhere else. And Microsoft, over their history, has proven unable to do that. They have proven inept at giving you quality first-party exclusives, like you said yourself. Microsoft has built a reputation as a dude bro console. You got your Halos, you got your Gears. I mean, they are really heavy into the first-person shooters, whereas Sony, they're more diversified with their first-party lineup. So I would go on PlayStation regardless. And I'm an Xbox dude. I love Xbox. But when you talk about better diversity of games, it's always Sony. So I had to go Sony.
Yeah. And again, people don't like to hear it, but I mean, it's just, I'm not trying to be, you know, extra. I'm just like, bro, it's just common sense from what they've delivered. That's just how it is.
And Ryan, you know? The other thing that killed me, Ryan, is that the Xbox, they using the argument, well, the multiplayer phones are going to look and run better on Xbox. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe, but it's not like they're going to be terrible on PS5. They're going to run amazing on PS5.
That argument never like ceases to amaze me, because when I hear that argument, I'm like, okay, first of all, this is where you're running into a brick wall. You say our console is going to have the best looking multiplats. Now, this is where my good friends on PC, we laugh at all of you in Discord. We go, okay, first of all, no console, neither console will have better looking multiplats than PC. Neither. I say it before, the best looking games on console are in its first party. It will always be the first party that defines the console. Multiplats sell more because they're on what? Multiple platforms.
Yep.
First party content sells less because it's meant to sell you to the box. Nintendo doesn't have an issue with selling first party. Let's keep it real. It's nostalgia. Nintendo is nostalgia. People buy Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Sony needs, you know, I don't know what Sony would do to get their game to sell like Nintendo, but hey, people talk about Mario. Mario sells like 20 million per game. Even more, you know, easily, like in a week or so, they do that, whatever. I don't know what Sony needs to do to sell those, but hey, that's what happens with Nintendo. Again, I've outgrown Nintendo. We've all started off in Nintendo in some way or fashion. I've outgrown them. Have they grown with me? Hell no. So I'm not jumping back there, but it's how it is.
Man, no doubt, man. But I mean, the Nintendo Switch has been a huge success for them, man. Some of the games on the Switch are pretty damn good. I'm not going to sit here and say that Nintendo doesn't know what they're doing, because they clearly know what they're doing. But they've smartly kind of gotten out of the rat race with Microsoft and Sony, because Nintendo had carved out their own niche with the Switch. So they are doing big things. I mean, hell, the Switch beat Xbox and NPD like a lot lately. So I mean, Nintendo knows what they're doing. But yeah, when it comes to next generation and you want these next generation gaming experiences, I mean, the PlayStation is leading the pack right now. I mean, Microsoft might catch up. I mean, like I said earlier in the podcast, they have purchased over 30 in-house studios over the past 3 or 4 years. So at some point, you would think, Ryan, that these studios have to produce something. I mean, come on, man. What are you doing over there, Microsoft?
Yeah, I said this in videos. I'm like, I mean, you ain't got to show me gameplay. At least give me a snippet, a trailer or something. Okay. Like, for example, do what Sony did with The Order 1886. Remember, we didn't get gameplay at first. We got like a growl from one of the werewolves, and then it showed like the watery type of intro with the black water, and then it said The Order 1886 coming next year, or teaser next year, coming soon or something. I'm like, okay, that's something. I get, you know, something to go with. I don't know anything about these studios. I don't know what's being worked on. I don't know what the initiative is working on. Still don't know what that secret is, what the initiative's working on. Nope. You know, Coalition's talking about Gears 5 again. I'm like, listen, Gears 5 is a good game, but that's not the game you want to praise that you got to 120 frames on a next-gen console, especially when it's super well-optimized for even for PC. And these consoles are pretty much PCs. That doesn't do anything for me. I played it. I beaten it. I played it at 240 frames per second on at 1080p max ultra. I played it like that this whole gen. I'm like, listen, it's not selling me for a Series X. I don't care for that. I need the next gen leap. Are you going to deliver on that next gen leap? Yes or no? That's all you have to tell me. If you ain't going to deliver, hey, it's fine. You know, that's what us.
All right. Firstly, I love how you PC dudes just sit off to the side and laugh at all on console, dude. But I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to tell you the thing I've been telling everybody else. Once November comes, ain't nobody gaming on PC, fam. You either PlayStation or you Xbox. Ain't nobody gaming on PC come November. Stop it. Just stop it.
Well, come to November. Okay, so yeah, when these consoles drop, you ain't really gonna hear nothing for PC. Granted, they do have something for PC, which is the 30 series, but I mean, by the time these consoles really come out, the conversation on Twitter will probably more likely be dominated by the console. Why? Yeah. Because that's where everybody really is hyping up, is the consoles. That's where they're hyping up. The only thing that I would see for PC is like Cyberpunk, maybe, because that's gonna be the big real deal. I don't really think Cyberpunk, like if you look at the advertisement for Cyberpunk, they showcased it, looks phenomenal, right? Looks phenomenal. But if you look in the advertisement at the end, it says coming to all platforms, and then it says runs well on PS5 and Series X too. I'm like, what the hell that's supposed to mean?
I don't know. Yeah, that's weird.
Now, what the hell is that supposed to mean? You know, that's not really a good sign for me. So more than likely, I'm just going to get that on PC and run that to the best I can.
There you go. So the consoles are out. We know the pricing. We know the release date. If you're lucky, you got a PlayStation 5 pre-order. If you're not lucky, then you have to wait for the next allocation of shipments. We know Microsoft is pre-ordering starting their pre-orders next week. Let's talk about the launch lineup for the next generation consoles. Yeah, so to be fair, because I know a lot of y'all think I'm an Xbox hater, but I'm not. But to be fair, both of these consoles have a staunch amount of titles at launch. They don't really have much either way at launch. But let's talk about what Sony has versus what Xbox have. On the Sony side, I think at launch you got Spider-Man, you got Destruction All-Star, whatever the hell that is.
Souls was confirmed.
Oh yeah, Demon's Souls. Yeah,
day one.
Three that are like PlayStation 5 exclusive. Everything else is probably on most of whatever. Xbox, I don't even what does Xbox have launched? I heard of I remember one game from the Xbox showcase called Medium. Is that a launch title? I don't even know.
That's coming later, and they also said that that's gonna be on PS5.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, so Ryan, what launch title does Xbox have? Well, we know Halo got delayed to next year.
That's the thing. That was their big ace card. It was Halo Infinite.
Oh boy.
That was the issue, you know what I'm saying? And if the memes didn't start, I honestly think it would have dropped in that shape and they would have fixed upon it later on. Because remember, this is going to be some quote unquote the last Halo game for 10 years.
Right.
That's what they're saying. This is not my word. This is their word. And this is going to be the 10-year expansion. Basically, they turned Halo into Destiny. That's basically what they're trying to say. So you're going to get more added on in the years. But the fact what really angered me, it shocked me, because this is the main feature that they've been talking about over Sony. Ray tracing. Mm-hmm. Ray tracing wasn't available for the game in the first showing, and it wouldn't be available at launch. So what the hell have you been doing this whole time when people have been speculating for this game? What have you been doing? What is your main bottom line here? What are you really working on? Like, what's really about to happen? What are you about to launch here? Clearly, they didn't think that through. So it's just.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, the Xbox Series S and F virtually have no launch titles. If I'm understanding you correctly,
they got Game Pass. Dudes was hyping up Cyberpunk. I mean, hey, you got Game Pass. You got Game Pass. I don't know, man. You got Game Pass. You got Madden. You got FIFA.
Oh God! Wow.
There you go. I mean, there's nothing, man. There's really nothing I can really name. Day one,
man. So I'm a
eye opening, isn't it? Very eye opening. I mean, you know.
What I've been saying all summer long to all you Xbox out there that keep arguing with me. When your system launches on November 10th, what are you playing? I mean, that's a serious question. What are you playing on November 10th? What are y'all playing? I want to know. Please let me know. If somebody's out there getting an Xbox Series X or S in the chat, what are you playing come November 10th? Please let me know, because I'm lost. I don't know.
I mean, the damage control would be, what are you playing on PS5? And I'm like,
Spider-Man,
Demon Souls.
Destruction
All Stars, even though I don't really care for that, but something.
Kind of reminds me of Twisted Metal, so I kind of, I don't know. Get it, but yeah.
Everybody's falling on multiplats. They go, and then they're calling Spider-Man DLC.
Oh, please.
I hate that argument because it's so dumb. It just shows the level of salt. It's like, okay, first of all, it's a full-blown game, and now it's got an Ultimate Edition with the original, so you get both with this right. Ultimate Edition, fully done for PS5, get all the bells and whistles. I mean, dog, are we really having this conversation here?
There's no conversation. Here. Guild Wars 5.
He said, I believe with all was a good one with support. See, Gears 5, we've already played Gears 5, though, lover. We've already played it. And that's the thing. Like, it's not really a good showcase because you already played that. Right. You know what I'm saying? And another good, interesting thing, too, I'm glad you mentioned HDMI 2.1 because that's something that a lot of people are kind of sleeping on. So people hype up Series X or PS5 doing 120 frames per second. I told people this before. You're going to need to upgrade that TV.
Mm-hmm, which
if
I did.
Even if you have a 4K display, the max that TV will get is 60. It's going to lock at 60. It's not going to do the full blown 120 hertz. You're not going to frames. You're not going to do that. You need HDMI 2.1.
Yep.
And unfortunately, this is where Sony kind of got everybody in a bind right now, and Microsoft really, but really Sony's really just doing that to sell their TVs because, you know, they got the LGs coming out as well, and now they probably got the new Sony Bravia TVs that support HDMI 2.1. Mm-hmm. But those TVs are the ones you got to buy for 120 frames per second. And mm-hmm. and here's the funny thing: the minimum price tag for those is $1,500. Minimum, it's like $1,500. Yeah. Me. Listen, I game on PC, I game on PS5, I game on PS4. Listen, I don't really need 120 frames for these awesome games. 60 is fine with me. I've been asking for that for this gen. Just give me 60, just give me 4K 60. I'll take it. I'm good with that. So you know, I went and got the Acer Predator X27. I'm good on both sides. Because you know, this goes to 120 on the PC.
Oh, there you go.
And 140 on PC. So I go both on PC.
As most of y'all know, I went out and I brought a TV for the purposes of these next-gen consoles. So I got the LG C10 OLED, which supports, they have four HDMI 2.1 ports on the back, which all support 120 hertz. So I will be good to go. But that TV is north of $1,500. Don't know what I mean. You got to do what you got to do with that. But yeah, I don't know. Like I say, you Xbox dudes, y'all keep talking about how you don't care about exclusives. And I guess I see why y'all don't care, because y'all don't know what the hell exclusive is. Y'all don't know what they are.
Yeah, he said I'm getting a PS5 digital. If you can find that PS5 digital, good luck, man. If you can get your hands on it, I mean, that right there was the first one me and this man right here looked for. We couldn't get it. We had to get the disc version. Seriously. So odds are you're probably going to be forking over another 100 just for the disc if you can get a pre-order in.
Yep.
That's probably what you're going to be getting.
Yo, while I'm
shout out to Yates Network said good monitor. 4K monitor, I'm guessing that's what you're referring to. I do recommend Acer Predator. My good friend, I actually don't recommend you spend this much on his, but he bought the one from Asus, the PG 27Q something. That one's 144 hertz and it is 1 millisecond and it's 4K. He paid like $2,000 for that. It's worth $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually going on sale for $3,000.
That's
expensive. So I don't recommend you get that. But he got his for free. He's lucky. I'm mad he got his for free. me, I was going to get that, but he was like, Ryan, just go with the Acer. I'm like, yeah, I'll take the Acer. So I'm happy with that. But you know,
While I'm mopping in podcast, I don't know if you're listening or watching, but shout out to my man Gregory McFadden, man. Greg Gadget, dude, you are the real MVP. Because of Greg Gadget, he is the one who originally alerted me to the PlayStation pre-order going live. And he alerted me to Amazon going live last night. So he had my back on both occasions. So shout out to Greg, man. You are the real MVP. I appreciate you. And thank you. Also, shout out to my man, Greg Oak TV, for helping me out on some things. I appreciate you, Greg Oak, man. I don't think I forgot about you, baby. I will get up with you tomorrow morning, man. But thank you to Gregory McFadden and Greg Oak TV for helping your boy out. Appreciate both of you guys. But I think that's going to be it for this episode of Vibe Drive. Ryan, before you got to hit the recording, where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. I was going to recommend. He said 14. I'm guessing he's saying 1440p for HDMI 2. I do think you can find HDMI 2.1 for 1440p, but I'm not sure where. Go to YouTube. Just go to Amazon. You might be able to find them because they're actually super cheap right now. But yeah, it was good. It was good having me on. Thanks for having me on the show, man. It was good talking to you. Awesome. You guys can find me at Big Cloud Gaming on YouTube and Twitter. It's all gaming news. Mr. Viper's an avid listener, so he already knows. I told all this, man. If something's good, hey, preach from a mountaintop. if it's bad, unlike yesterday, you know, yesterday was bad. I was like, I had to let it have it today, and let's just say it, man. I value my credibility over a sub or insane views at times, you know? So I love, man. I love to be honest. I can't be like a lot of people you see here who do it for clicks. There's too many of that, man. I just can't.
Yeah, like I told y'all in the intro, this is one of the really cats in gaming YouTube, man. I love listening to him because I know if something going down, if it ain't right, or people talking out their mouth, Ryan coming at him. I know he coming at him, so I appreciate that from him, and I appreciate him. Shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vipe Drive with me and my man Big Cloud Gaming. Again, if you want to go check out his content, his channel will be in the show notes. Definitely go check him out if you want that hardcore, tough love, gaming news, all that good stuff. If you want to be on top of everything happening with these next generation consoles, definitely go down to the show notes. Check my man Ryan out. He is legit. Again, if you guys want to support or donate to the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes as well. Anything that you're willing to contribute will be greatly, greatly appreciated. But again, not required. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, though, I would really appreciate it if you guys could leave a rating or review. Help more people discover the podcast. Help us get back into the tech rankings on Apple Podcasts. So please, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, consider leaving that rating or review. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back. Bum off.